Here in the early part of the season, we wanted to take the opportunity to bring in some of the conversations around the team over the past few weeks. I'm Lawrence Scott, and let's get right to it with Klay Thompson as he joins Tim Roy.
It's a good thing to be back at work, and the pleasure to and blessing to be here for my sixth season.
Is it a little more exciting because of the unknown? You have new players. Kevin Durant is here. Is it a little bit different than maybe the past couple of years?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's so much continuity in our roster the last 2 years, and now being third year with a different guy, a lot of different guys. It's cool, and you know, we added obviously some amazing talent this offseason. And unfortunately, we saw a lot of our good friends go. It's part of the business. But like I said before, we added a two-time MVP, experienced an All-Star in David West, and a solid big man in Zaza and JaVale McGee. And, you know, Pat, McCaw, the list goes on. We got so much talent coming in that it's going to be fun to see how we mesh together, especially these first couple weeks.
Where do you think you guys are in that process?
I think we're obviously in the infancy of it, but if preseason's an indicator, I think we're looking great. As long as we take away those dumb turnovers and make the simple play, it will lead to the spectacular. So I think... you know, we're looking real good, and it's going to be a great year.
What does Coach call that, the show?
Yep, calls it the show. The show will come. Just keep it simple. Steve always stresses, and for good reason.
Klay, when you were going through your summer, obviously in Rio, what was that like, and how cool is it that you have a gold medal to your repertoire?
So awesome. It was a fun experience. You know, everyone dreams of playing in the Olympics. And to say I was a starting shooting guard for the Olympic team was real cool. Something I'll cherish forever. And, you know, it was a fun experience. Obviously, it was a tough way in the season, but the Olympics, you know, kind of helped me get through the summer and just staying in shape and just having fun playing basketball.
What was the most fun thing you did in Rio that you can tell me that was not on the basketball floor?
Probably seeing Usain Bolt run and the track and field events. They go so quick, but there's so much intensity and there's so much electricity in the atmosphere. It's really cool to experience, and it was fun to watch those guys live. You get a new sense of how fast they are when you see it live. It's really amazing.
Did you get to know Kevin Durant a little bit better when you were in Rio?
Yeah, definitely. We spent a lot of time together. The whole team did. You know, we were on a cruise ship for a long time together, so there's a lot of long nights of us hanging out and having fun. He's a great guy who loves life outside of basketball just as much as he does on the court. So it was a pleasure being around him and Draymond and Harrison.
Chatting with Klay Thompson here. I'm Tim Roy. And I guess, you know, you're proud of everybody in your family, but Trace, you know, with the Dodgers this year. First of all, how's he doing?
He's doing a lot better. Obviously, the season ended, and they had a great run, make it all the way to the NLCS. They got a great future, and he'll be healthy for spring training and ready to get back at it.
I know it's great for them knowing that you're in the NBA. How great is it for you knowing you have a brother in Major League Baseball?
It's insane, and obviously a Dodger fan by affiliation of my brother, but it's really remarkable. I can't every time he's out there, whether it's on TV or I see him play live, it's amazing, and it's a blessing. I know he's hungry. He's, you know, his career. It's been his first 2 years in the league, and he's hungry to get going again, and he has a great future ahead of him.
I know if you can't get a hold of him for tickets, you can always call Peter Gruber.
That's true. It's nice that I got that connection as well in Peter, and I'm lucky that us Thompsons have been fortunate that we all played in California pretty much. You know, it made it easier for my parents to travel and for all of us to keep in contact with each other.
We were just in San Diego, and you got your high school Letterman jacket. A little bit late, but you got it.
A little bit late. Wish I would have gotten in high school, but if I have kids one day, I'm going to tell them I got it in high school. But it's just a good memento to have, and I'm happy I finally got it because you don't realize how cool things like that are when you're a kid. But I'm happy I have it now.
Did it bring back any memories of high school days?
A little bit. It's more of just a novelty, but it's pretty sweet to have.
As you get ready for another NBA season, and now you're obviously a great pro, what things do you try to get better at? You know, try to get better every day, but what little things do you try to get better at?
I mean, I watch a lot of film, so I try to get better at getting to the free throw line. Just every time I take a shot, hopefully it's a great shot. So just shot selection and getting to the free throw line, I think those are things that are my complete control, and rebounding. If I up those rates in those three areas, I'll have a stellar year again.
Well, you know, it's one thing you have gotten a lot better at is at the rim. You know, and I think now you're such a threat now, whether it be a reverse layup or getting to the rim. Is that something you consciously worked on when you became a pro?
Definitely, and learned where to pick my spots, when to attack, when to catch and shoot for a jump shot. But it's definitely something I've worked on. I've been conscientious of since I've been a rookie.
Let's talk a little bit about what's going on maybe elsewhere for you. You had a guide dog named after you. Yeah. What was that like? How did that start?
That was real cool. Warriors came to you with the idea that the have such a love for dogs, guide dogs for the blind, wanted to honor me with a pup, and it was truly an honor. And I'm excited to meet Clay when he's grown up. You know, he's about 8 weeks old now. I can't wait to see when he's two and he's changing somebody's life. It's pretty amazing. But sweet dog, one of the better moments of the preseason for me is anytime you get to meet a puppy. It's pretty cool.
You've had Rocco on your bobblehead, so I have to ask, how's Rocco doing?
He's living. He's back in the Bay, so he's happy, and he's on his schedule again, so he can't complain.
Anything different for you away from the gym now as opposed to maybe when you first came to the Warriors? Anything that keeps you occupied?
Not really. Still like the same hobbies, whether it's golf or go to the park, but still like to enjoy the same things, you know, see the scenes of the Bay. It's one of the most scenic areas in the world, so I just like to get outdoors, you know. It's one of the best areas in the country for that.
Now, we know that Draymond's the loudest guy in the team for the most part. Are there other guys that maybe are maybe more verbal than we know on this team?
Yeah, I mean, we all talk, but Draymond definitely takes the cake for being the loudest.
No doubt about that. So finally, as I wrap this up, let's, again, circle back to the season. A lot of expectations on this team. Do you feel that, you know, those expectations can be met, and does this team have some unfinished business?
We do have unfinished business. We obviously want to hoist that Larry O'Brien again. And we all think these expectations can be met. It's up to us. You know, we control our own destiny.
More from Tim a bit later with Scott Howard Cooper of NBA.com. But now a chance to hear from new assistant coach Willie Green. R.C. Davis interviewed him at the end of the preseason, heading into the season opener.
Did you ever think when you were playing that you'd be coaching one day, or is this something you always kind of had in the back of your mind?
Early in my career, I didn't necessarily know about be coaching, but as I came down to the end of my career, it was something that I wanted to pursue. You know, I'm so thankful for the guys that helped me become a professional. Once I got to the NBA, obviously my coaches growing up, and it's because of them that I wanted to coach and wanted to. I felt like I had something to give back to the game.
So it wasn't a matter of not wanting to get off the court and stay as connected to the game. You actually did want to do the actual teaching, and you felt you had something to share.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and then you want to stay connected to the game. You want to stay connected to our players. Obviously, we got a good group of guys, coaches, staff, and so that makes it even better. But I definitely have a passion for teaching, serving, and just helping the guys get better.
You're only 35 years old. You're not that far removed. Do you ever get the itch to get out there and play, or when you crawl out of bed in the morning, you're reminded?
No, I mean, I still get a little run in with, you know, our GM Bob Myers and some of our other coaches. We play a little bit after practice is over. So that's still there, that competitive just wanting to play. But at the NBA level, you know, it was time to do something different. And I'm thankful that I had an opportunity to come here and be a part of this team.
A lot of these coaches can shoot. You got Kerr, you got you. You were a lifetime 35% from behind the arc. But you don't get in shooting contests with Splash Brothers, do you?
Not yet. But I'm sure before the season is over, we'll shoot a few. It's still early, so, you know, we'll see what happens. It should be fun.
Let's go to the beginning now, out of Detroit Mercy, before that Cooley High in Michigan. Your high school league had guys in the NBA like Howard Eisley and Jerry Stackhouse and Eric Snow, guys like that. When you got to the Sixers after being drafted by Seattle and Eric Snow was your teammate, was he someone you could kind of lean on to know what the league was all about, you and Snow?
Yes, definitely. East Snow's first cousin was our head assistant at University of Detroit. And so I used to see him all the time, play against him all the time when I was in college. We would play one-on-one. We spent a lot of time together. So getting drafted to the Sixers, he was already there. It made it a smoother transition for me. Also, Derek Coleman, he was there my first year. He's from Detroit, Michigan, from the same area. And so I think it was a blessing to be at that team with those guys.
Because you got a guy like Patrick McCall, really doesn't know anybody. That's got to be a lot different than it was for you. You've had some interesting teammates, you know, that are still on this team. D West, Zaza, Iguodala.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, we've all had a good run together. I played with Zaza in Atlanta, D West in New Orleans. Andre and I played together for 4 or 5 years in Philadelphia. And so we've all stayed connected throughout the course of our careers.
This was obviously a big year for AI, your former backcourt mate, Allen Iverson. Tremendous Hall of Fame speech. I'm sure you caught it. You, I would imagine you know an AI that a lot of us don't.
I do. I do know a lot of, I know an AI that a lot of people don't know. And I think the one thing that he kind of gets the short end of the stick with is that he was a selfish player and, maybe he didn't play the game that people thought he should have played in a certain way. But one thing about him, he was a great teammate. He was a really good person. He had his mistakes like we all do, but I love playing with him and I love being around him. He was a fun guy and I was happy to see him make the Hall of Fame.
Another one of your teammates was Drew Holiday. He is going through some tough stuff right now. If you don't know, his wife is going to have brain surgery, his pregnant wife. He's walked away from the Pelicans, taking some time off to be with his family. Have you reached out to him as just kind of maybe letting him on his own? I mean, what's been the relationship there with you and he?
Yeah, I haven't reached out to him at this time, but he's definitely in my thoughts. His wife and his family's in my thoughts and prayers. And, anytime you have anybody in this brotherhood that goes through something tragic or difficult, we all thinking about him. We all, wishing his family well. And, hopefully I get a chance to talk to him and maybe just see how he's doing.
And you've gone through some tough things yourself nearly 6 years ago. Sadly lost your sister and cousin in a car accident. How did you deal with that? Are you still dealing with it? I imagine it's something you probably never get over.
Yeah, you don't. You don't get over it. It's something I still deal with. That moment, that phone call will always be with me. I still miss them, my cousin and my sister, a lot.
They were coming from one of your games, right?
Yeah, they were coming from one of my games in Detroit. We flew out on a back-to-back, and then that morning I got the call that they were in a car accident. And so, it happens throughout the course of life. We lose loved ones. We never really get an understanding why. But, I trust in God and believe in, that everything works together for the good. So, that's a tough situation. But, you try to move forward. You don't move on, but you move forward, and you just continue to have them in your heart at all the time.
Arnold Palmer recently passed away also, and you're a huge Arnold Palmer fan and golfer.
Yes, I am.
You ended your career in Orlando, Bay Hills there. I mean, you must have had a lot of chances to get on the links.
I did, and I'm fortunate and blessed to have an opportunity to speak with Mr. Palmer and talk to him before he passed away. I joined Bay Hill because I was a big fan of his and what he's done for sports and what he's done for golf. And, he really was a pioneer, and he did some tremendous things in life, giving back to the communities that he's been a part of. And, I felt fortunate to be able to take a picture with him and my son and to actually have an opportunity to talk to a legend like that. So he's going to be missed.
How are you with the sticks? I mean, this team has Steph, Iguodala, Jaren Collins. These guys aren't scratch golfers, but they're darn close.
I haven't played against any of those guys yet. We talk a lot about golf on the bus and on the bus rides to the arena, and we're all reading golf magazines.
So I'm in the back reading Slam. You're in the front reading golf.
Yeah, I think it's another outlet for guys. It was an outlet for me when I played towards the end of my career. It's a fun competitive sport, and I'm looking forward. I think we might play one of the days while we're out here, so it should be fun.
Torrey Pines, right by the hotel, not too shabby. Final question, who wins, Ray Allen or Steph Curry in a round of 18?
I'm hearing Steph Curry is a little better than Ray. I mean, I know Ray. I've played with Ray. Ray is a really good golfer. I haven't played with Steph.
All right.
It's going to be interesting to see those two great shooters, how they do on a golf course.
So, you looking forward to this year?
I'm excited about it. We got a fun team. Stevie K is great, and you know, the rest of our coaching staff. I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited about it.
And we are very happy that Coach Green is now part of things. All right, we wrap things up with Tim and Scott Howard Cooper, a longtime NBA writer and friend of the program. His work covering the Warriors and the league can be found at NBA.com.
You know, for a year where we had this big jump in the salary cap, there's a lot of interesting stories going on. We'll start with the Warriors. I mean, you Kevin Durant's here now, and it's kind of taken the bitterness out of the end of last year away, because there's a great anticipation. People are, you know, I don't like the term super team, but this team has firepower.
It would have taken something really big to help people get over how last season ended as fast as they did, to be able to turn around and before the next season even started to feel like it's a new beginning. It would have taken something really big. Signing Kevin Durant is really big. It's obviously a tremendous offseason. It's the move that every team in the league would have loved to have been able to make, and the Warriors made it. And when the biggest problem is which superstar is going to get the ball in a given moment, that's not a bad problem. There are issues to work through. I don't think chemistry is a problem at all. I think all these guys are of the same mindset, that they're about the W's more than the shots. But it is an issue for Steve Kerr to work through, because he's got to continue to get the most out of Steph Curry and Klay Thompson when they may not be getting as many shots as they used to get. And the same thing with Kevin Durant. He's got to max out Kevin's ability, even though Kevin may not be getting the ball as much as before.
Why do you think there was a backlash over this signing?
I think it was probably a few different reasons. One, people wanted to find a reason to dislike the Warriors anyway. Once you're very good for a while.
I've never done anything bad to them.
There's this natural, the backlash was inevitable. And then Draymond Green in the playoffs and with the suspension and in the finals, and then some of his issues off the court into the summer, that came into focus as well. And then once the Warriors blew a 3-1 lead, then it's also about the chance to mock these guys. But it's also because, well, for one thing, people just want to be mad all the time. This is just how a lot of people are. But because he joined the team that beat the Thunder, I think that's part of it. If he had gone to the Wizards, oh, right, that's his hometown team, it was completely different. If he had gone to a team in Texas, well, he went to University of Texas, so he wanted to be in San Antonio or Houston. He felt like he was comfortable there. But I think it's because of people wanted to dislike the Warriors anyway, and Kevin going to the team that had just knocked them out of the playoffs gave them an extra reason.
I think it's funny, because it really showed to me that, you know, if you have a good working environment and people have fun doing their jobs, that's an attractive thing.
It's obviously a great compliment to what's going on here. It's, and not just what you see in the standings, but what most people don't see. What the atmosphere inside the locker room, the camaraderie, the chemistry, just the personality of the organization. I think that Kevin made that clear, that when everyone came back to the Hamptons to visit him in the free agent pitch, it wasn't so much what Joe Lacob or Bob Myers said, it was what the players said and the impression that they gave him about how things really work. And obviously he had been trying to get a feel for that long before the meetings in the Hamptons anyway, but I think a lot of it is the personality, and people want to be a part of that.
Talking with Scott Howard Cooper, NBA.com. I'm Tim Roy. So tell me, which teams do you like? Now, obviously in the West, let's start with a given: Warriors, Spurs, L.A. Clippers. After that, it's kind of, you could come up with a whole bunch of different scenarios, from 4 to 8. What do you see there?
A lot of different possibilities as well. I still think that Oklahoma City will be good, even if they get up to number 4, which is not would not be the biggest shock of all. There's a step down between 1 and 2 and 3, then you go down another tier. So even being 4, home court, I like Portland, obviously. I probably would put Portland there.
Yeah.
I'll be interested to see what Memphis does with a coaching change, and I wouldn't count them out, because I still think that any team with Mike Conley and Marc Gasol coming back from injury Zach Randolph, even if they move him to the bench, is a guy that can still have an impact. So I think that's a team that could still be reckoned with. Dallas, you know, obviously people around the Warriors ground are going to be following the Mavericks a little bit more this season than probably in the past. And I think Rick Carlisle is a terrific coach, and the Mavericks will be there. And if there's a team that's, I think, going to climb into the playoffs, I would say Utah.
It seemed like they wanted to win now, bringing in veterans. And I understand that because I think, you know, they don't know if Dante Exum's going to be ready this year or next year or if he's going to be ready. And so I kind of like what they do because they protect the rim. And when you get Gobert and Favors out there, that's a hard team to score on inside.
That clearly was an emphasis going into the offseason. They said, you know, we got all this great young talent, but who's been there? Even guys that have been around for a while, Gordon Hayward's turned into a really nice player, but he doesn't know the playoff atmosphere and the playoff mentality. And the closest he's come is a push for number 8 last season that went into the final night. But now you bring in guys like George Hill and Boris Diaw, and Boris has obviously been there a lot. Joe Johnson, who's been around a long time.
Big shot
maker. So there's no question that the Jazz at the end of last season said, we want to get older. We don't want to get completely AARP, but you want to mix some of the playoff experience in with these young guys.
My dark horse in the West is Minnesota, but let's go over to the East. And to me, I think there's a big tier between one and everybody else.
Yeah, there's no question about that. I think a lot of people would have said Toronto would have been number 2. I think losing Sullinger is a blow to them.
And Biombo.
And because it's right after they lost Biombo, now they're going to have to rely on young guys quite a bit. Maybe Jakob Poeltl from University of Utah. Maybe Pascal Siakam, a second-round pick that most people hadn't even heard of. And he may now end up getting a lot of time. I like Boston. I think the Celtics are a team that's moving up. Brad Stevens is a great coach, and Al Horford was a nice signing. And we can't forget the Hawks. People always seem to want to either ignore them on purpose or just forget because they don't have a lot of superstars. That's a team, remember last season and the year before, that had a lot of good players but didn't have that one killer player. So I agree with you. I think it's Cleveland, and then you have that next three of Toronto, Boston, Atlanta, and then it even gets much more convoluted when you go to 5 through 8 and beyond.
I would have liked Charlotte had they kept Jeremy Lin because I really thought he fit there.
Yeah, I think that Charlotte is still a team that is, I think they will be a lot better than last season, the Hornets, as long as they get Michael Kidd-Gilchrist back for a healthy season, and they seem to feel like he will. Everything is, all the indications are really positive that MKG has come back from that shoulder injury. I think that that's a team that could be good. Obviously, it's in transition because they lost a couple guys, some of the veterans, and they're going to have to rely on some new people. But I like Steve Clifford as a coach. I think that Charlotte is one of those teams when we talk about going into the year, when we talk about 5 through 8, the Hornets are one of those teams.
What stories are you going to be really keeping an eye on the first couple months of the season?
I think a lot of it is I'm curious to see how some of the rookies play. That's something I always tend to watch coming off the draft. And with the rookie ladder that we do, I rank the rookies every Wednesday. So that's something I'll be watching anyway.
At NBA.com.
At NBA.com. Free clicks. But I think this year, especially because Ben Simmons will be coming back at some point. The Sixers, barring a medical setback, feel like he's going to come back sometime in January, sometime around the midpoint of the season. And I'm interested to see how he does, obviously, and some of the other guys. There was a lot
Chris Dunn.
Chris Dunn, Brandon Ingram in the Pacific Division. Also in the Pacific Division, the Suns have 2 lottery picks, number 4 and number 8. So I think that there's going to be a lot to watch. I think all eyes are on how the collective bargaining agreement negotiations turned out. I don't know if that's what you had in mind about things I'm going to be watching, because that's much more off the court and won't be impacted in the standings. But that's obviously a huge, huge issue for the entire league. The good thing is, as we sit here now on opening night, every indication is that this thing will get done sooner rather than later. There's a great deal of optimism that they're going to have something in place long before there's any threat of a lockout or a strike.
Thanks for listening in. I'm Lawrence Scott, and this is Warrior Sound.